Again, hear God's holy word. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. Some of you may not know the name Dennis Byrd. He was a very good defensive lineman in college, league football. He was on the defensive line. And he went to the pros. He played defensive end for the New York Jets. One of the reasons why he's somewhat well known is not just because he was a pretty good football player, but what happened to him tragically one Sunday playing in a game against the Kansas City Chiefs. He came around the end rushing the quarterback, trying to sack the quarterback. At the last minute, as he's full steam running, the quarterback steps up in the pocket. The offensive lineman kind of pushes him out of the way, and coming from the other side was his teammate doing the same exact thing he was doing. And Dennis Byrd puts his head down, and he has a head-on collision with his teammate. So here is this muscular, fit athlete, and within a moment, he goes from being a strong man to being paralyzed, completely paralyzed. His neck breaks, and he can't walk. What do you do? How do you process such tragic events? How do we think about them? We worship a God, as I prayed earlier, we worship a God who controls the weather. He controls the clouds, whether it rains in this valley. Okay, we read things about him controlling Cyrus. Okay, he's a God who's almighty. His hand is in all things. How do we process that? Is God really in control of all things? How do we think about what we commonly call providence? How do we process it? Is God good in such things? These are some of the questions that I want to look at tonight. We come to a passage of Scripture in Proverbs 3 that is between two my son discourses. Okay, verse 11 says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord." Solomon is addressing, as it were, his son. And again, in verse 21, Lord willing, in the future, we'll look at this. "My son, let it not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion." Between these two "my son" passages, we have two separate passages on wisdom. One as it relates to man, verses 13 and 18, and one as it relates to God. What we see in verses 19 and 20 is this lesson. The Lord Jesus Christ providentially governs all his creation. The Lord Jesus Christ providentially governs all his creation. And what I would like to do tonight with our time is to explain how that truth comes out of this verse. I want to open up the text and show you how that's a part of, an essential part of what this verse is saying. And I want to amplify. I want to look at other passages of Scripture. Talk about this doctrine of providence. The Lord Jesus providentially governing all his creation. Then I want to apply it. So 3 points. The text opened. The text amplified. And then the text applied. So I want you to see first these two verses teach that the Lord Jesus Christ providentially governs all creation. One commentator writes concerning these two verses. He says this: "The sum of all the doctrine which in these sentences is taught is that by the Son of God all things were made and are continually governed and preserved." Notice that there's two entities in this verse 19. The Lord by wisdom. The Lord here is the Father. He's God the Father. Now, oftentimes in the Old Testament, Yahweh, okay, capital letters Lord, is a reference to the second person of the Trinity. And there's plenty of evidence for that. It's not always the case. Psalm 110 is a good example. Perhaps it's helpful to go to Psalm 110. Verse 1 says, "The Lord," this is a Psalm of David, "the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." Verse 4, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever." And the idea is that the Father is speaking to His Son. And the Lord, in that case, as Peter describes in Acts chapter 2, is the Father. So it's not contrary to interpreting Scripture with Scripture to see that the Lord here is the Father. Wisdom. We've looked at wisdom, how this is a reference to Christ. Christ is called the wisdom of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Colossians 2, 3. "In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." What are they doing? First we see creation. "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens." This is a reference to creation. And we know that the Lord Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, was intimately involved in creation. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets," verse 2, "has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds." The same thing is repeated in John chapter 1, the first three verses. Dr. Joseph Piper comments about creation. It's important to ask ourselves, okay, well, did the Father have anything to do with creation? Did the Holy Spirit have anything to do with creation? He says, "The Father decreed it, the Son spoke each into existence, the Spirit preserved it, and at the Son's command particularized and energized what the Son commanded." This is analogous to redemption. You've heard Paul give a Sabbath school on this. You've heard me mention this from the pulpit. You hear me pray this. The Father has ordained, He has elected, He's planned salvation. Christ has accomplished salvation and the Holy Spirit has applied it. It's very similar to that idea. Genesis 1:26, we have the phrase, "Let us," this is God speaking, "let us make man in our image." There's plurality. Second verse in the Bible, "The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." This is where Dr. Piper gets the idea of the Spirit particularizing and putting energy to what the Son has commanded. So creation is somewhat a foundational point to providence. It only makes sense and it's only proper for us to look at creation before we look at providence, as Solomon does. Providence comes from creation. Notice verse 20, the idea of providence. "By His knowledge," again, this is a reference to Christ, the way of Solomon writing. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge is fundamentally the same thing. In this case, it's a reference to the Lord. "By His knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew." And this is the verse where we see providence. Here's how we see it. The phrase "the depths were broken up" is a difficult passage phrase. It's either referring to the different ways in which the ground can be broken up and water can come out of it, like maybe a spring, okay, or maybe even a creek or something like that. But it's probably a reference to the flood. Genesis 7:11. "The depths were broken up." That's what we have in our passage here. It's the same language, same wording that we have in the flood. Genesis 7:11. "In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were open." God is governing His creation. He's causing things to happen. The next phrase, "and clouds drop down the dew." This is a reference to rain, to the weather. Who's doing that? Is it just some third party nature, whatever you want to call that? No, it's the Lord. He's controlling it. This is His providence. And I want to kind of expand a little bit on this idea. Here in this passage, we see how the Lord Jesus Christ providentially intervenes, at least in the rain. But it's more than that. At least in the flood, but it's more than that. It's all things in His creation. And that's specifically said in other parts of Scripture. And so I want to expand on this idea. So secondly, the text amplified. Our confession talks about God's providence. Shorter Catechism 11 says, what are God's works of providence? God's works of providence are His most holy, wise, powerful, preserving and governing all His creatures and all His actions. What I want to do under the second point here is really just ask two questions. What does God control? And how does He do it? What does God control? It's not just the rain. It's all things. Now, this is stated in Scripture in at least two places. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. So verse 2, we just finished that. It said, through Him also He made the worlds, referring to Christ. Verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power. Christ is upholding all things by the word of His power. Or if you think about another passage of Scripture, how it relates to providence. Ephesians chapter 1, talking about salvation. Verse 13 says, verse 11, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. All things work according to the counsel of His will. So He's in control of all things. This includes chance. Is there really such a thing as chance? The Bible talks about how the lot, this is Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. I suppose it's appropriate to use the word chance in our language if we understand what we're saying. Okay, the Bible actually uses that word, chance. You know, if you've picked up on that, 1 Samuel 6:9, the Philistines are trying to figure out what's happened to them with the ark being in their land and all these tumors and all these crazy things going on in their land. And they say, well, let's do this and we'll figure out whether it was from the Lord or it happened to us by chance. But that does not mean that the Bible teaches this idea of chance, that things just happen apart from God's will. All things, even chance, this supposed chance or randomness is in the Lord's control. We've been playing Uno as a family. And if you know anything about the card game Uno, it's fairly simple. Sorry, kids. And sometimes Thomas will beat me and Seaburn and Mommy because it's fairly random. It's fairly up to chance. But even that is in the Lord's hands. He controls chance. He controls little things, even the animals. Matthew 10:29, Jesus says, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? Not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. Even a bird falling from the ground is not, it's still, the Lord's still in control of it. Father has decreed it and the Lord brings it about. You come up to a red light and you don't want it to be red, you want it to be green. But even the little things, the Lord's in control. He's in control of the weather. I mentioned that. Notice this verse from Job 37, how clearly that's conveyed. Job 37:11, also with moisture. He saturates the thick clouds, He scatters His bright clouds, and they swirl about, being turned by His guidance, that they may do whatever He commands them on the face of the whole earth. Who's in control? The Lord controls the affairs of men. Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart, listen to this verse, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, He turns it wherever He wishes. Who's in control of Donald Trump? Who's superintending all these things? Who's superintending the affairs of men? We read from Isaiah 44. Cyrus the king of Persia. Okay? Who put it in his heart to say that we're going to build the temple of the Lord? He is the Lord's servant. Now, again, I want to... Perhaps I've said a few things that made you think of some questions. Does man have a free will? If God's in control of all things, then are we in our doings, especially maybe as it relates to sin, does man have free will? Sometimes people looking at maybe as those who follow John Calvin, his system of doctrine, they'll say we don't believe in free will. But we actually do believe in free will. Let me explain what I mean. Before the fall, man, being created in perfection, was without sin, but able to fall from sin according to his own will. Okay, Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes, truly this one thing I've found, that God made man upright, but he has sought out many schemes. Man has sought out many schemes. After the fall, man remains a free agent, yet he lacks the ability to do that which is good or pleasing. And thus his will, which is free, is wholly or entirely bent toward evil. Okay, Genesis 6:5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Free agent, free will, but unable to please God. Upon conversion, man is enabled by God's grace to will that which is spiritually good. The Holy Spirit enters into the heart of a believer and makes him willing, enables him to be willing. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. When man sins, God is not the doer. God is not the doer. Man is, because he is a free agent. James chapter 1, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And he gives birth to sin himself. So what does God control? He controls all things. Now here's really where my message to you starts to come together a bit more. How does he do this? Okay, I mentioned Dennis Byrd to you. And a tragedy. Okay, how do we understand the difficult things around us? Is God really in control? How does he do this? Is he really wise? Is he really, really holy in all that he does? Our shorter catechism summarizes providence. I read that earlier. And it's fairly easy to see how God powerfully does this. I mean, if he's controlling the weather, it's pretty powerful. But is he holy? Is he wise? This is certainly a mystery, and my message is better entitled An Introduction to Providence, not The Doctrine of Providence. But I want you to think about a few things here. God is, he does this in a holy manner. God is not absent when bad things or sinful things happen. He is in control, yet without being culpable of sin. I form the light. This is Isaiah 45:7. I read this. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. It's not as if Satan's in control of the bad things. That's a terrible thing. That's a terrible idea to have in your head. Satan's in control of the bad things, as if God is not in control. Think about Joseph for a moment. Joseph was... sold into slavery by his brothers. Spent years in Egypt. Later he became essentially the king in Egypt, and God used that for good. Here's what he says, Genesis 50:20, to his brothers. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. God was still superintending all those events, yet without sin. It's a bit of a mystery. But God is in control. He does it in a holy way. Think about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 2:23. Peter says, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Peter asserts God's sovereignty over the worst act in the history of the world, and yet he puts the culpability upon the Jews. God is holy in all that he does. He's not culpable for sin, and he's still wise. And I'm aware that my message is very introductory, but I hope to provide just a few comments here that suffice, especially if you're going through a difficult situation and you wonder about whether or not God's in control. Is God wise? His wisdom is demonstrated in how he uses pain and adversity and even evil for the good of his people. This is asserted in the Bible, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. I don't understand this perfectly. We can draw hope in that God will work good in our difficult situation. One way that he works good in difficult situations is that in these difficult situations, he conforms us to the image of his Son. The psalmist writes, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." I think about patience. Are you a patient person? Think about it. How would you learn patience? How would you learn patience unless you were put in a situation where you had to be patient? How would you learn to be thoughtful and kind if everyone around you was perfectly thoughtful and kind of what you wanted? God puts difficult situations in our life to grow us. He remains wise in that way. Now, thirdly, I want to make some comments of application. Four applications. What does this mean? The Lord Jesus Christ providentially governs all of creation. How does this affect your life? Four applications for us this evening. First, this doctrine, okay, this idea, it encourages prayer. It changes your prayer life. I want you to think about that for a moment. If God is in control of all things and he's almighty, then our prayers are not in vain. This establishes prayer. 2 Kings 19:20, "Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me, against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard." Do you pray for parking lots? Or do you pray for parking spots in your parking lot? God's in control whether or not you get a parking spot where you need it. Changes the way you think in that regard. It establishes prayer. It encourages prayer. Do you pray for safe travel? You know, we kind of giggled about a certain prayer request tonight. Totally appropriate. Totally appropriate. Secondly, it influences decisions. It influences decisions. You know, we heard some prayer requests about wisdom and things. Well, think about this. Two thoughts. First off, okay, the doctrine of providence influences our decisions. Now, in no situation, should you look at providence and say, oh, well, because of these events in my life and my circumstances, I need to do this, and this certain thing is contrary to Scripture. Okay, for example, you go to a restaurant, you sit down, and you find a wallet and an iPhone on the table. And God's providence, he's given me this cash, and he's given me this iPhone. Oh, isn't God good? No. That's not what I mean. But you should pay attention to providence. God's in control of your circumstances. I've used this example before, and forgive me, but I just think it's helpful. Philip, my brother, who many of you know, he wanted to teach Spanish and coach high school football. He couldn't really find a job. He really couldn't find any of that going for him. But in God's providence, connection with some friends in college, there was this sales position that was offered to him that was going to help him pay off his college debt. and give him a job when he needed it. And there it is. And all the other, you know, other things checked out, and it ended up being that he prayed about it and nothing else was coming up. No other job was coming up to teach Spanish and coach football. And so he took this sales job. It's just something to think about. We don't want to miss a giant blinking road sign from God by forgetting providence. It influences our decisions. Thirdly, it lessens fear. I want you to think about this. Are you a fearful person? Children, young people, you go to sleep at night and you're alone and you're afraid. Why are you afraid? Because your mind wanders and you think someone might come into the window of your room. Well, do you think about this? Yes, lock your doors. Close your window. God's in control of you. He's controlling all the things around your home, around your room. And this will lessen fear. You're in God's world, not in Satan's world. Or perhaps for some of you older folks, do you like driving 70 miles per hour down the highway? Does it wig you out? Are there things that you're fearful of? Yes, we don't put ourselves in danger. Yes, we put our seatbelts on. But we recognize that God's in control of all things. That we're in His world. It lessens fear. Commit yourself to a God who is in control. Finally, tonight, this doctrine, it hinders complaining. It doesn't eliminate it entirely. The Holy Spirit would have to do that. But I want you to think about how it hinders complaining. It's July. Your car doesn't have AC. You're on Highway 41. And you're stuck in traffic. Now, if you're like me, you're going to really struggle with complaining. And being very irritated and wanting to curse and just getting angry. But who are you complaining to? Who are you complaining to? Complaining to God. All things without complaining. Because God has put you in this situation. You can cry out to Him in prayer. You can use the Psalms to guide you in prayer on all that. But when you stop and think about who's in control of your circumstances, it hinders complaining. Jesus Christ providentially controls all of His creation. And I barely even opened up this topic tonight. But I want you to think about this, especially if you're in pain or you're discouraged or you're facing adversity. Trust in God who is in control and who in Christ is working all things for your good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that You would comfort us in our affliction. You would encourage us to have faith in you and your will. Father, we ask that You would protect us from the lies of the world and the devil who oftentimes come alongside us in difficulty and say that You are not true and that You are not good and that You're not holy and You're not wise. Father, we ask that You would give us submissive hearts to realize who we are, to believe Your word. We ask that You would encourage us in light of Your power, in light of Your government over all things, through Your Son, Jesus Christ. For we pray in His name. Amen.